One for the money, two for the show, three for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast, some say, is Bush League. After taking 5 years of French, all he's able to do is irritate Frenchies, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello again, ladies and gentlemen. This is Doug Jones, as you heard Drew McMillan say. Drew McMillan, of course, is my Canadian nephew, big-time Canadian entertainer, and one of the hosts of the show, Powerboat TV. You can watch episodes of Powerboat TV on the internet, powerboattv.com. Anyway, let's talk about Medicare. We don't need to talk about powerboats. We are here to pontificate to the Medicare eligibles or the soon-to-be Medicare eligibles about their choices and their options and their actions that they should take in order to cross over from Obamacare to Medicare. And when they do, they'll find the sun coming out, shining brightly, the temperatures will warm up, and everything will be brighter and happier because Medicare is not a scary thing once you understand that it's just a mechanism for paying your medical bills. And if you're unfortunate enough to have a ton of medical bills, then it's possible to get Medicare coverage that's fairly reasonably priced, much more reasonably priced than your typical Obamacare plans. Those things will cover pretty much all of your medical bills, or you can get the powerful hot rod GTO of Medicare supplement plans that will pay most of your medical bills at a very, very reasonable price. And that's the plan that I always recommend. It is Medicare supplement high deductible plan G for those of you who were born after 1955 or in 55 and after. So anyway, I am here with my friend and engineer, Randy, I was going to say the name of another Randy. I know too many Randys, but Randy Carson, he is a dial twister, and I'm hoping he would twist the dial to listen to our 30-second radio spot right about here, because it's a short little synopsis of what we're doing here. So I'm going to be quiet now. We'll listen to that. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. Okay. Thank you, Randy. Thank you for playing that. And anybody who can't understand that is probably preoccupied with other less important things. So how are things today, Randy? I hear you stayed up late last night, went out to dinner and entertained some of your clients.
Yeah, it was we certainly enjoyed it, but I was tired when I got home.
It's, you got to be careful when you're with clients, because everybody can be yucking it up. But if you say the wrong thing, they can look at you funny like, is this really who I want guiding my career?
Yeah, you got that right. But, or when your wife pokes you in the ribs.
Ooh, ouch. Yeah, that's a reminder. Okay, don't be shooting my mouth off so much. Well, anyway, I have a nodding acquaintance with the clients that you went out with, and or a passing acquaintance. And my contact has been very pleasant, so I'm sure you had a good time. Anyway, it is time for us to talk about Medicare. And I have to say that things have been booming around the MLM, the Medicare for the Lazy Man offices, just for the last month or so. We have been contacted by more people than I can shake a stick at. And I don't really want to shake sticks at them because they are welcome. So I want to welcome them into the fold. But every one of these people has a whole bunch of questions. Now, for the last few episodes, every time I've had to talk about something that I find interesting and that I think the Medicare audience will find at least interesting, if not useful, somehow the name Steve has been attached to it. So I'm giving serious consideration to changing the name of the podcast to Medicare for Steve, because that guy has actually carried me for a long time. Every question he's ever asked has turned into a podcast episode because he goes out and finds pithy questions. Now, I don't know if he's just a naturally curious guy or if he is looking to stretch my knowledge base, but boy, every time he asks a question, I have to go and research stuff. Well, in this particular occasion, because Steve is enrolling in Medicare and then will be enrolling in a Medicare supplement high deductible plan G with me, he and I have had more contact than usual, more frequent contact. And one of his problems has been to get Medicare, the Social Security Administration, which is the agency in the government that oversees Medicare, to get them to be more responsive and to move quickly to enroll him in Part A and Part B. And so he has asked my opinion. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't really want to tell Steve that I didn't know much about the process. So I really don't know much about the process, because when people come to me and they decide what their course of action is going to be with my help, then I always say step one is on you. Because when I talk to the federal government about Susie Shinola, and I say, hey, federal government, Susie Shinola wants to enroll in Medicare Part A and B, then the federal government says, well, why isn't Susie Shinola talking to us herself instead of you? You know, what are you doing talking on her behalf? And they will not let me represent her to them. And so I had to tell Steve, look, this is a job for you to do, because they won't let me speak on your behalf unless we fill out some forms indicating that you are my, or that I am your representative. That representative term is not just like, hey, my buddy is going to, he knows the terminology. It's a much more specific term than that. So a personal representative has to have a signature on a form giving him permission to act on behalf of the Medicare participant. And I just haven't done that with anybody, and I don't need to do it with Steve because he's a smart guy. So anyway, he has been a little frustrated in dealing with the federal government. They're all hiding under their beds because of the Wuhan flu. And so he is trying to figure out what to do to enhance his enrollment. Now, he is also 3 months ahead of time, so he's got plenty of time, but I think he's a deadline kind of guy. I've decided I'm going to take this action. I want to get it done yesterday. How come they don't feel my sense of urgency? So Steve and I have been going back and forth. And yesterday, I got a really interesting email from him. He said, you know, I was communicating with somebody at the government, and I did not hear anything from them for a while. And I mailed the form that my employer has to fill out. I mailed it to my HR department, emailed it last week, and I haven't heard a damn thing back. This is a special form called a CMS-L564E. And that form is designed for the employer to assure the federal government that the person who's applying for Medicare was a participant in the health plan that the company offers. And so the employer says, oh, yes, we'll fill out the form. It's a real short form with about 8 pages of instructions and Paperwork Reduction Act disclaimers and all that kind of crap. But basically, the employer has historically had to sign it, you know, a person in authority. an HR type or a foreman or something like that. Well, Steve never heard from his employer, his HR department. So he was poking around on the internet, wondering what to do next. And I told him, I thought I told him that signatures, because of the Chinese virus, are not required on this form anymore. The employer does not have to sign it, but the applicant still has to fill out the form. That's that CMS-L564E. The applicant still has to send it into the government to attest to the fact that they've been a participant in the employer's medical health plan. So Steve found an interesting website, and I hadn't even seen this. I know I've been trying to tell people you don't need the employer's signature anymore, and that's been kind of a stumbling block in companies that are downsized or closed up during the course of the panic. But he found an interesting website, and I think what he did, he went to CMS.gov. Now, CMS is the branch of the Social Security Administration that oversees the details, that administers the rules and regulations for Medicare, and it stands for the CMS, anyway, is an acronym that stands for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or it might be Medicaid and Medicare Services. The interesting thing is it only has one M in it because they don't know how to spell their own damn acronym. So if you go to CMS.gov, which is what Steve did, and search for CMS L564, you come up with a couple of paragraphs that tell you how to acquire the information that they want when you apply for Medicare Part B. So they have this special instruction section. I thought it might be helpful for anybody who's going to be facing this in the next few months, this Medicare enrollment. So the special instructions are, if you have Medicare Part A, which is the hospital, the inpatient coverage, and you're eligible to enroll in Medicare Part B. So if you have Part A and you're eligible to enroll in Part B, which is the outpatient coverage, through a special enrollment period, which is, say, you're leaving your job, which is what's happening with Steve, he's going to retire, you have options for how to apply. You can complete the Part B SEP online, or you can mail your completed CMS 40B. You can do one or the other. Steve asked me that in an email, and I said, well, I don't think you need to do both. Do it online and don't bother with mailing the form. That 40B, CMS 40B, is the actual application for Medicare Part B. So then the other form, so you need two forms, basically, most people do, CMS 40B and CMS L564. That 564 is the stumbling block that Steve ran into because he couldn't get a signature on it. And these instructions pretty much make it clear that you don't need the employer's signature anymore. So you have to mail these forms to the Social Security office or do them online. Do the 40B, the application for Part B, online. You'll also need to send any required proof of employment, group health plan, or large group health plan coverage. So this might be check stubs. It might be a letter indicating your participation in the health plan, you know, the company indicating that you have been participating and your termination date is so-and-so, or it might be a letter from way back when you started working there indicating your coverage will begin on such and such a date. But once again, check stubs showing a deduction for that coverage, I think, are also accepted as proof of your participation. So anyway, it says you can also fax your enrollment forms and evidence of employment and health coverage to your local Social Security office. I had heard you had to fax them to Baltimore. So this is a liberalization. You can fax them to your local Social Security office. You can find your local Social Security office by clicking SSA office locator under related links section below. No, that's on this page. Well, you won't be able to see that because I'm looking at a printout of this whole thing. But your employer does not need to sign Section B of the CMS L-564 form. All you have to do is state on that form, I want Part B coverage to begin on such and such a month and year. It's always going to be the first of a month, so you don't have to tell them what day of the month. So you have to state on your form, I want Part B coverage to begin, let's say we're like Steve, August 1st or August of 2021, in the remarks section on the application being the 40B form. Or you can do it online. Steve asked me that this morning, as I said, and this is confirmation that you can do it either way. You can do it online or you can do it on paper and send the paper in or fax it in. So, and then it says, to wrap this up, visit faq.ssa.gov or call Social Security toll free at 800-772-1213. If you want more information, I have an idea that calling may be more frustrating than going to the online, URL that they mention here, which is faq.ssa.gov. So, and then it says at the end, if you don't already have Part A, you can apply online at ssa.gov/benefits/Medicare. I'm telling you, if they ever put me in charge of the government, I'm going to do a whole reorganization of their contact info, because it really shouldn't take this many memory cells to retain all of the different websites and different URLs they have. But it's nice to know that they have an FAQ section, and it's nice to know also that they're confirming in writing that the forms don't have to be signed by your employer. You got the two forms to enroll in Part B. One is CMS-40B and the other being the CMS-L564. Those are the two forms you need. And Steve is going to be an expert. I think I may have Steve record like a half an hour set of instructions for those preparing to apply for Medicare Parts A and B. And then I can just play that just like we play our 30-second radio spot. So what do you think, Randy? Have the crickets chirped yet?
No, we're doing really well today. We've got 4 minutes and 10 seconds before the crickets arrive.
Well, let me go to another little subject then. And that would be, now we've talked about how to get your Part B, your Medicare Part B, which is the type of insurance that you have to pay a monthly premium for. And it's the most common, most commonly used insurance of Medicare, because outpatient is where most of us are all the time, and outpatient is where we go see doctors or have lab tests or whatever, and inpatient is much more rare. In other words, when you go into a hospital, they're going to throw you right out of there just as quickly as they can. But when you're outpatient, your doctor wants you to come see him all the time, because every time you go through the door, that's revenue. And so there's another little thing here that was researched to answer questions from a different prospect or a different soon-to-be customer. And this gentleman is up in Washington State. And he basically had problems because he was going to go to, he was unemployed now, and he's on COBRA, and he's going to turn 65, and he knows that starts the clock ticking on the lifetime late enrollment penalty. So he wants to explore the idea of getting Medicare coverage now. But if he goes back to work in his field for a different employer that has a health plan, he's wondering if he can just turn off Medicare Part B and then turn it on at some time in the future when he decides to retire for good. And I have seen over and over and over again this following statement that says, yes, you can terminate your Part B coverage. But I have never seen any place in the government FAQs or any of their little websites where it says you can pause it and then just start it up again when it's convenient for you. So here's what the statement is that I've seen most frequently. This is straight from the CMS or Social Security Administration or whatever. And it says you can voluntarily terminate your Medicare Part B medical insurance. However, since this is a serious decision, you may need to have a personal interview. Now, that's scary. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. A Social Security representative will help you complete form CMS-1763. To find out more about how to terminate Medicare Part B or to schedule a personal interview, contact us at that same number I gave you before, which was 800-772-1213. Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can also contact your nearest Social Security office. But here's the deal. They don't want you quitting Medicare Part B until you know what the ramifications are. And I have never seen where it says that it's easy to get Medicare Part B back once you have quit it. So I can't, there's not very clear about there. They're certainly not forthcoming with encouragement about, yes, we'll just flip a switch. And while you're working for a couple of years, we'll keep it on hold for you. Now, my overall opinion, and I shared this only in part with the gentleman because I expect to talk to him again. My opinion is your typical employer health plan, group health plan, is going to be more expensive than what you'll wind up paying for Medicare coverages. And that would be Medicare Part A, which is free for almost everybody. Medicare Part B, which costs this year about $148. That would be your Medicare supplement, which is all over the map. But my recommendations are to get one for somewhere between $29 and $50, depending on where you live. And the drug plan, which can be as low as $7 a month. So that would be your costs on Medicare. Your average really expensive employer group health plan might be a lot more expensive than that. And it also might have a very small network of doctors and hospitals that you don't want to, be victim to their small network. So you might find that the benefits are better with Medicare and the cost might be better. So you can go to a job after you've been laid off, you've turned 65, you've enrolled in Medicare. You can go to another job and just decline coverage on their health plan or accept coverage if it doesn't cost you too much. Some companies pay the freight for the employees and then charge a lot for dependent coverage. But at least you have options. And I think a lot of people are going to find that being on Medicare is going to be less expensive and much more broad coverage than being on a company health plan. So that's the other half of that question about about getting Part B. We talked about Steve and how he could get Part B. And then we're talking about this other gentleman and how he might want to terminate Part B. Still no answer to the question about how you might put Part B on hold for a few years. I just don't know if that's possible. I would guess that you would be facing a late enrollment penalty if you came back to them and said, okay, now I want Part B again, and I haven't had it since I've been 65 and now I'm 70. I bet they're going to calculate a late enrollment penalty on you. So I bet I heard the crickets this time, at least in my head. There are noises in my head, and sometimes they sound like crickets.
You're absolutely correct, Doug. Whether they are internal or external, the crickets have spoke.
We always listen to the crickets. So what are we going to do for wrapping it up? Do we have to land a plane?
Well,
we have
to... what is it we're going to do today? Number one, I need to thank the audience. Always want to thank the audience, because without you, it wouldn't be any fun at all. And I would like to ask you a personal favor. I am committed to sell some books today for Doug. So you need to go to Amazon.com. You need to order up some books, several,
Yeah, you because, haven't met your quota lately. I'd like to
I know my quota
production level out of you.
Yeah, the quota just keeps going up. I don't know what happens.
It's supposed to be encouragement but you're doing a wonderful job. So frankly, just keep twisting those dials and I'll always be a happy camper.
Awesome. Well, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. And ultimately, we do need to bring the plane in for a landing because we're out of gas and all the stuff is stowed and, the landing gears are coming down. So I want everybody to have a great day, a great week ahead. And ultimately, we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.